So have you ever been forced to go on a vacation that you didn't want to go on? And I'm not talking like, you know, you're in Texas and someone say, let's drive to New Orleans and you go and it's fun. I did that. That was fun. This was not. I was flew from Baltimore to Barbados via Puerto Rico, going home for vacation and everything. I was excited. It's going to be fun. And I'm on the way to Puerto Rico and the pilot comes on. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be a fire on the plane and we will have to make an emergency landing. And, you know, I understand why they do it. I mean, they train them when you're in an emergency situation, you have to remain calm because everyone is calm and then there's a better chance of survival. But you must understand, this is freaking confusing. You don't expect to hear a calm, seductive voice like a late night radio host coming on. Ladies and gentlemen. You expect to hear something like, it's about to get funky. You don't expect to hear, you could die. So before I could even think about whether I should be scared or what should happen, you know, and by the way, so the air hostess, she comes on afterwards. She's like, ladies and gentlemen, please keep your seatbelts fastened. And I'm like, listen, we're about to die. You need to have some urgency in your voice. This is not right. I mean, she's all like, you can pray to your gods if you believe in your God. Only one God allowed per passenger. You have to check the other gods at the gate. And you can use your cushion as a pray mat if you need to. East is that way. Okay, so I'm about to freak out. But I notice next to me, I feel a clutch on my arm, and I look around, and there's this beautiful girl. She's scared and trembling, and she's wearing a low-cut shirt, and I didn't want to look, but I could die. This could be my last moments on Earth. She, thank you, God, was well endowed, and I was happy. And so we're going down, and we're landing in the island of Guadalupe. They mentioned this before we landed. And we're landing, and there's turbulence, and the plane is shaking, and she's trembling, and they're bouncing, and I'm oddly enough, happy. So we land in Guadalupe now, and we're on our way to the hotel, and I will spare you the story of the trip to the hotel. Let me just say this. That was the most scary experience of my life. We're driving on the edges of cliffs and everything. This guy is just going along fast, and wouldn't that have been sad? You know, the American Airlines called my mother. It's like, Mrs. Carterton, your son, the plane had an emergency. He had to land. Don't worry. You know, he survived that. He was okay. But the bus went off a cliff and he died. I mean, I would have to think that would hit her more. But anyhow, we got to the hotel. I get to the room. And I have never seen anything like this in all my years of traveling. The air conditioning unit in the hotel only works when you insert a credit card. I wouldn't even tell you what the charges were. But by that time, I was depressed. I'm like, okay, this hotel has to have a bar. The first thing you want to do when you have a near-death experience is you want to have a drink. You don't care what drink it is. It could be beer, rum, alcohol, those little drinks with umbrellas, whatever. You want one. So I go to the bar, and I ask, you know, can I have a beer, drink, whatever? He's like, okay, that's $10. I'm like, okay, you mean $10 in your currency, Guadalupan pesos, whatever it is, I don't know. He's like, no, $10. I'm like, what? $10 for a drink? I can't even get a buzz with the money I have. So then I noticed the same girl is sitting down for me coming along. She probably had the same idea. So I'm like, yeah, $10 is all it costs. Give me two of those drinks. So she comes and she sits next to me and we have a beer and stuff like that. And I don't know if she was trying to compensate for earlier when she was just scared out of her mind. But she's all calm, cool, and relaxed. She's like, I'm just really bored. I'm like, well, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, I have my Xbox with me. We can hook it up to the TV. And, you know, I have two seasons of Law and Order. She comes to me. She says, well, I have a racy movie. She used the air quotes, too, which I loved. And I'm like, I'm feeling like a jerk now. Two seasons of Law and Order. She has a racy movie. So I'm like, God, thank you. I just prayed to live. I didn't pray to get lucky, but thank you. So we get back to my room, and I'm happy, and I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about putting that credit card in. Let it get hot. She needs to take some clothes off, you know, and save myself some money, too. Two beers. Crazy. So we get in now. We see the movie, and the movie was racy. I don't know if there are any kids in the audience, so I won't tell you the title, but it was. She wasn't joking. She wasn't overstating the matter. So I'm excited now. Go to hook up the Xbox to the TV. And this is an anticlimactic ending, spoiler alert. There were no audiovisual hookups to the television. I mean, if you need a credit card to use the AC, you're not going to have a modern television. Come on. What was I thinking? So she looks at me, she sighs, she pats me on that shoulder in that kind of pathetic way and says, maybe this was a sign. The moral of that story, whenever you travel on American Airlines to Barbados, to Puerto Rico, please pack in your luggage your own prey mat, a bottle of rum, a DVD player or a laptop, and a projector. That's it. That's all.